1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 9 is where I'd like to read today, if you'll look there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Two verses of scripture here in the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians, verses 9 and 10. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt. This is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. The Apostle Paul here, he goes and makes a reference to an Old Testament verse in the law of Moses, Deuteronomy 25. And in that text, he is in Deuteronomy 25, the scripture is talking just about muzzling the ox that treadeth out the corn. And that God provides, has made provision even for the oxen, even for the animals. Now, most of the time, this verse of scripture is used to say and to teach that those in Christian work, pastors and various workers like full-time Christian workers, that they are worthy of their hire, that they should be paid for the work that they do. So it's a good verse, but there's several things from this passage. And so when the Apostle Paul goes back to Deuteronomy and pulls that verse out, he's talking to all Christians, and he's talking to every one of us here, even today. Does God care about the oxen? We know that he does. We know that he cares about the sparrow that falls to the ground. The scripture says that two sparrow sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father, your Heavenly Father, taking notice of it. It takes two sparrows at that time to be worth a farthing. A farthing was 1/10 of a penny. It really wasn't worth that much monetarily, but yet God paid attention to the sparrow. And so he was concerned even about the oxen, that when the oxen was used to go through and to plow the fields and to take care of the grain, that they were able to, according to the law, that those animals were able to turn and get some for themselves as they were going along doing their work, that there was to be a provision, an allowance made even for them, for their needs. And we know, excuse me, we know that God also cares about all of us, but there's a broader picture here that the Apostle Paul is talking about. He says in verse 10, or saith he it altogether for our sakes? Or was that passage of scripture from the law of Moses for all of our benefit, for every one of us? And what was that for our sakes? No doubt, he says, it was for all of us, no doubt. This is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope. Now, I know you're probably thinking, where is he going with this morning? That we should plow in hope. That we should be able. You know, I've watched over the years people who have worked for the Lord. I've watched people work and sacrifice and give of themselves and just kind of plod along and try to do the will of God. And I have watched people become discouraged and lose heart in the work that they were doing. And I think sometimes that happens to us because we forget about the fact that God has made a provision for us, and that it is his will that as we press along, as we work for him, that we also have an expectation that we're going to bear fruit. I've even heard people say this before. Well, I'm just going to throw this out here. I'm just going to do what God wants me to do, and then I'll leave the fruit up to Him. And I understand what they're saying, and I may have said something similar to that myself, but the fact of the matter is that we all, every one of us, when we work for the Lord, there should be an expectation that we are going to bear fruit. For every prayer, for every effort, whether you're a Sunday school teacher, a bus worker, whatever, you know, an usher or a greeter or a sound tech or whatever you're doing, a musician, a singer, whatever, there should be the expectation that God has promised that we should be able to plow in hope with the expectation that what we do, that there is going to be a result. We're going to reap a result. We're going to see fruit for our labors. That when we pray, we should have the full expectation that we're going to hear, have our prayers answered. A full expectation that we're going to bear fruit and that God is going to prove Himself to us no matter what we're attempting to do. As small and insignificant as it may seem, God still takes notice of all that we do, and He has promised, if you'll keep plowing, then I am going to reward your efforts. Praise God. Psalm 126 and verse number 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. It's talking about the work of plowing and sowing the seed and then all of that work that you should have the expectation that one day you are going to bear the fruit of those labors. Amen. I guess where I'm getting at here this morning is this, that I've just seen so many people in the church and the work of God that they've lost their heart. They've lost heart. They have no zeal. They have no real confidence that God is going to do what He's promised that He will do. But the scripture says, if you sow in tears, you will reap with joy. There will be a time that you will bear fruit. God will move for you. He will answer your prayer. He will bring forth fruit, and He will honor the efforts that you have put forth for the glory of God. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless, there's the word of assurance, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So we need to believe that God, along with the effort that we put forth, that we should plow with hope and with confidence that God is going to move, that God is going to answer, and along with just as much as He took care of the oxen, just as much as He provided for everyone else in there, so will He honor you if you're willing to remain true to Him. We should work for God and plow with hope. Amen. So don't lose heart in your prayers. Don't lose heart in your witness. Don't lose heart in your commitment, your sacrifice, your giving. Understand that God's very much aware of what's going on in your life. And we can do this with a confidence and an expectation that God is going to work and move according to His word. Another verse in the Old Testament is Hosea chapter 10 and verse 2. Also uses the same theme, the agricultural theme. Hosea 10 and 12. Sow to yourself in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Sow to yourself in righteousness. Do the right thing and you will reap. You will receive the fruit of your efforts and your labors. How many times have you gotten discouraged in the work that you're doing, thinking, I must not really be making a mark at all. I see no difference. I see no fruit, no evidence that God is working in these situations. But trust in the Lord today. Understand that God has promised that if we remain persistent and determined and confident, we can move forth with faith and know that God will honor our efforts. Plow in hope. Plow with confidence. Hosea is talking about a circumstance, and I think that we can make the application here and from Hosea to the great need in our own hearts and our church and even in our nation that we live in right now. The circumstances that we are faced with. I believe that God rewards faithful efforts. Amen. God rewards people who remain true and are faithful, even though you see no evidence of it. As you remain true to the work that God has called you to do, you stay right in there and do the will of God, and you will experience God's faithfulness. It may be in another season, maybe in another time, but if you'll hold on, God will move. He will. We will reap in mercy. We will reap and receive the bounty and the blessing and the hope that God has provided for every one of us if we'll just keep our trust completely in the Lord. In this verse, two different kinds of ground are really described in Hosea chapter 10. One is fallow ground. Fallow ground is ground untouched, ground that's become hard. And over a process of time, maybe years, if you could just get the mental image in your mind of two fields. One of the fields is a field that during the year it changes from green to brown and then green again. It's changing in the seasons. The other field just stays the same. It doesn't change much at all. It stays the same. It's untouched. Much like a lot of people are, that they can come to church, they can involve themselves in all kinds of church activities and busyness, but the reality is that they really have not allowed the Lord and the Spirit of God access to their life. They are untouched by the Spirit of God. They are fallow ground. They've become hardened. And so they don't even want the plow to come their way. It's untouched ground, and maybe for a long, long time it's been untouched, and they would rather not have the plow come and deal with their hardness. I remember years ago, actually I've told about Marsha's grandfather and his zeal and desire to have a garden. And he lived next door to us, and there was a corner part of the back of his lot that he wanted a garden there. And I know the reason that he did was because he had a vision for things like green beans and corn and other vegetables. And so he wanted to work that back part of that lot and turn it into a garden. I worked on a job in Corbin from 11 to 7. I would get off at 7 and drive home, and I was ready for bed. But he was waiting on me. And he was waiting on me to help him with the garden. And so I would, with great enthusiasm, join him in the garden work. And when we first went out there, it was just, I don't know that there'd ever been a garden in that spot before. Probably had not. Because he took that little single plow and pushed on it and pushed on it and tried to break up the ground. And he was a strong man, especially for his age, extremely stout. But he couldn't break it up. So he turned it over to me, and I pushed and pushed and pushed on it. I couldn't do much good with it either. So he came up with this ingenious idea. He said, "I'll push and you pull." And so he built made it out of a rope, a little harness, and I became the oxen. And I was in the front part of the plow, and he was in the back part of it, and I pulled and he pushed, and guess what we did? We accomplished the job. We got the field broken up, the ground broken up. There's a great deal of effort in breaking up that hard ground. But after it was broken up, then we were able to put the seeds in. We were able to cover it up. And then a lot of mornings when I would get home from work, he'd be standing out there waiting on me with the hose. I'm not talking about a water hose. I'm talking about the weeding hose. And we'd go out there and we'd weed the beans and weed the corn and all. And it was a beautiful garden spot that year with a lot of fruit, more green beans than we hardly knew what to do with. And because he had a vision of the fruit, he believed it was going to happen. And it was hard to imagine it when you got out there in the beginning trying to break up that old hard ground. But because he had this vision for the fruit, he believed it was going to happen. It did happen. I'm convinced today that a lot of us, we haven't allowed the Lord to deal with us in a long, long time. How long has it been since the Spirit of God has spoken to you and dealt with you and you've humbled yourself under the mighty hand of God and you allow the Lord to speak to your heart? And it's easy to live the safe life, the undisturbed life, isn't it? It's easy to live the peaceful life. And I know that sometimes if the preacher gets a little bit enthused and says things like, we need to pray for revival. We need to have some prayer meetings and maybe we need to fast some. There's some that never even registers with them that I could ever be suggesting that they would pray or fast. Because they have become satisfied. They've become satisfied with, you know, well, that's not about me, and I'm okay the way I am. I'm doing just fine. A lot of people, they love it when they're undisturbed. And they don't like it when their life gets disturbed a little bit. But that little feel that you imagined in your mind a minute ago, surrounded by a fence, it's all green, it's peaceful, and it's undisturbed. But one day, the gates fly open, and the farmers come in, and the machinery's all in there. And it's not quiet anymore. The farmers are shouting and talking, and the machinery begin to work, and the ground is being disturbed. And things are changing. That's what God wants to do among His people. And we need to understand that if we'll remain true to the Lord, if we'll press in, if we'll plow, God will send a revival. God will pour out His Spirit upon the church and upon people if we'll just be determined. And if we would plow in hope and plow in faith and confidence that God is going to reward all the effort, everything that you have done, God will move in your life and in your behalf. But we like our peaceful existence, don't we? We like our few songs. We like our service. We know what's going to happen next. You know, we have an expectation of the service and everything that's going to happen in a service. It kind of troubles us when something happens in a service that wasn't really planned. When suddenly there's this moving of the Spirit of God and you take notice of tears that are flowing and hearts that are turned toward God. And people that are worshiping that haven't been worshiping. Amen. Let me get some water here. I came back from Africa in the end of January, and the Lord delivered me from this stuff, this bronchitis stuff, and I've gone 5 months, and hardly, I don't know how many times, but very few days in the last 5 months during the course of that time that I haven't thought or said, Lord, thank you for giving me good breath, that I can breathe, and here I am back into this struggle once again. Would you pray that this thing would be healed and gone once and for all? Amen. Because it just about worries the life out of me. And I just want to ask you to open up the gates. Put the fences down. Let God come in. Let God begin to move. Let God trouble your life. Let Him stir you up with an urgency and desire. Let Him give you a vision of the fruit of the fields, bearing the seed, breaking forth, and the ground breaking forth with much fruitfulness. Let God give you that kind of a vision to believe that God can move mightily if you will just stay faithful to the Lord. God will honor your efforts if you'll just remain faithful to the Lord. So open up the fences, open up the gates, and allow the Spirit of God to talk to you, to deal with you. And don't step back and say, oh, not me. He couldn't be talking about me. I'm such a good person. He wouldn't be talking about me. But oh, if your heart is fallow, untouched ground, I'm telling you, I've been visited churches around the country over the years, and I've sat in services where there's no word from God and no move of the Spirit of God, and nothing's really happening there in that place. God help us that that would never be the case in this location, that there will always be a hunger for God, always be a desire for the move of God, always be this desire to experience God's presence as He moves among us. So open up the gates. Let down the fences. Allow your life to be disturbed by the plowing of the Lord. Allow the Spirit of God to come and to deal with you and to work in you. And it's easier to go along with your little peaceful existence, but what God really wants to do is disturb your life, disturb your existence, and cause you to call upon Him. He wants to give you a whole new urgency in your spirit. He wants you to be really troubled and distressed because of the fruitlessness and that you're not bearing the fruit that He wants you. But I think that the gist of what I'm trying to communicate this morning has gotten across to you. Amen. We should plow with hope. We should plow with confidence. He that thresheth in hope should be a partaker of the hope. Amen. Don't ever let the enemy convince you, well, you know, I'm just doing my best. I'm just going to leave it in the hands of the Lord. No, He wants you to remain faithful to Him until you begin to see the fruit coming and the answer coming and the blessing coming and God showing Himself strong on your behalf. Hallelujah. For those of you who've worked for the Lord, don't be discouraged. Don't give up. Certainly don't quit. Remain true. Remain true to the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.